What a great Friday it has been. And as we move into the last hour here, I just got to thank all of you. Great phone calls, Brian Lunduke, amazing, amazing conversation. But the story behind the NSA, the CIA, and Pokemon Go and Google is non-fiction. It is real. That's all you have to do. Just go and seek out your own information and check it out. But it's all in the public domain. And it is frightening. But that's the best part of doing this show, especially on a Friday night. And doing that and sharing the information. Because when the phone calls come in and I hear them from you like that, you get it. Thank you, Brian Lunduke. And thank you to everybody that called in and asked Brian those questions. It was just amazing. Now, check this out. Talked about this a couple of days ago, and it is now a little bit further into the news cycle, but it is an amazing, amazing story. The remains of a man who died in a hot spring accident in Yellowstone National Park, those remains were dissolved before they could be recovered. Colin Scott died in an illegal attempt to soak or hot pot in Yellowstone's thermal pools. Now, I've heard about this, but the incident report says that the accident was recorded by his sister on her cell phone. She was recording a video of him on her phone as he reached down to test the water when he slipped and fell in. Workers were unable to find any significant remains in the boiling water because Colin Scott dissolved almost immediately in the boiling acidic pool. You can read the full story over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. It's open lines next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. It's Friday night. He's taking the night off, but that means I get his open line. So let's go straight back east of the Rockies. Nancy in Minnesota. Welcome to Coast.
Yes. I just saw on the same station as I watched, I listened to you on TV, and I just saw that in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, a young man had been riding his bicycle, hit by a woman. She was just taken before the grand jury, and it was nullified. But the interesting part there was that the officers who took the report failed to note anything about the fact that he was playing Pokemon when it happened. And when he was asked why this was not included in the report, he said that his superior officer told him to leave it out.
And the boy was playing Pokemon when he got hit, right?
Yes.
Okay, so she wasn't paying attention.
No.
Yeah, and that's the other
Who
thing.
wasn't paying
Who
attention?
hit him? Didn't you say that he was hit?
Yes,
Okay.
but they dropped the case before the grand jury because she wasn't using a cell phone or anything like
Right,
that.
right, right,
So
right.
maybe he watching or him playing Pokemon, he probably pulled out right directly in front of her.
Yeah. That's there is and thank you for the phone call, Nancy, because there's other things that are tied into the game that, of course, we have the CIA aspect and we have the spying aspect and your data and so forth. There's that part of it. But the other thing that's fascinating to me about Pokemon, just like what you're referring to here, is that the players are so focused on the game now. They're looking down at their cell phones, they're not looking up, they're oblivious to the world around them, and it has turned into this world of nobody paying attention. And on the flip side, it's people around those people that are playing the game that they're oblivious to them. They don't pay attention to somebody that's walking around pointing a camera in their face. You know, and it's really, really weird how it has become invisible on both sides. So you're exactly right. I totally agree. The kid was oblivious to his surroundings, and so was the driver. And if you think about it in those terms, it's nearly perfect how society has chosen to ignore people playing the game on both sides. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, yes, I do. But, you know, the last thing was that the superior officer had told him not to put this in the report.
Yeah, but that I can't comment on that because I don't.
Because they didn't want it to go national.
Sure, sure. I could understand that would be a reason why. Yeah, very, very interesting. And just thank you for the phone call, Nancy, because I think that everybody should start to pay attention with what's around you now, because I've given you the warnings, right? I've given you the reasons why. A live microphone right next to you. Think about that. A live microphone, and you're in a private conversation with your boss, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad. You're in a private conversation, and you have a reasonable right to expect that privacy, and somebody is standing next to you playing a video game with a live audio feed and video feed to the world. Think about that for a second, everybody. Let's go to first-time caller line Simon, way out in Iowa. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, it's not too far out.
It's halfway across the country, man.
No, we're in the middle of the country.
Yeah, halfway across. You're in the middle, right? Last time I checked.
Okay. Jimmy Church, it's nice talking to you, and I'm enjoying your show tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. What's up?
I don't know. What's the end game? It's the evil versus the good. It's the yin yang, isn't it? Really?
Well, that's part of it, Simon. But I'll tell you what the end game is: 250 million agents. Spies that don't even know that they're spies. That is perfect. It's like an android army. That's the end game. And the ability to tap in and observe any point on the globe. You want to go look and see what's going on outside the Kremlin? Drop a Pokemon there. Let everybody go and chase it down. They turn on their cameras. They turn on their microphones. And you can see what's going on outside of the Kremlin. Or anywhere else, for that matter. Think about that. Let's go to wild card Michelle, St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. Michelle, welcome to Coast.
Hi, good night. I'd like to give my condolences to Art Bell, first of all. Second of all,
condolences. What? Condolences for Art. What?
I live on a 12-mile Long Island in the Caribbean. It's hard to get out through here with all the fiber optics. Okay, I'm linked up after listening to Brian earlier. I didn't put all my batteries, even my laptop, everything in my big microwave, okay? Not on. We forgot to put that part in. But we got agencies inside agencies. Agencies inside those agencies. But I really think that people ought to read this book. It is by Sean Patrick with an S-E-A-N. His name is Jack the Pirate.
Okay.
It's a pirate book.
Okay, Michelle, though, do you have a question about Pokemon Go?
I don't watch video games because I know if you're going to live your life, do it hands-on training. I'm not in the video thing.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it. For me, fiber optics, and all of the connectivity, there's no way to disconnect. There just isn't. There isn't any way to disconnect. You can't. And beyond that, this is the strange thing with a DSL cable, your router, you unplug those, you've got Wi-Fi flying around. You are always connected. Think about that. And thank you for the phone call, Michelle. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Sean, Santa Barbara, right out here on the West Coast. You're up next.
Hi, Jimmy.
How are you doing, Sean?
I have Parkinson's, so bear with me. I don't know how to even... I'd like to have a conversation with you because I do not know how... I'm computer illiterate. I do not know how to drive a car. I do not have cable. But what I wanted to tell you is I did see a UFO in 72, bigger than the Goodyear blimp, near your spot, near Santa Monica. I'd like to talk to you more privately. I was born in Hollywood. I had a lot of UFO experiences in Hollywood. I just like to talk to you because I can't talk on a computer because I do not know how to use a computer.
You know, we're talking just fine right now, Sean. I want to know what you saw. What did you see?
Well, it was bigger than a Goodyear blimp, and I turned around jumping up and down because, you know, like there's a highway. This is like 1972, so it's like I'm jumping up and down, waving my arms like a lunatic.
Right.
Trying to point, look at this. I turn around, it's gone. Goodyear blimps don't do that.
No, they don't.
And this was bigger than a Goodyear blimp. This was shiny.
And what was it during the day, Sean?
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy. What time?
So long ago, let's say noontime, you know, like, you know, daylight, you're right in the middle of the day.
Yeah, because, you know, that, well, any beach at noon is nice, but right there, Santa Monica, at noon, clear skies, the marine layers burned off, you know you can see clearly what you're looking at, and you saw it, and I think that is exciting. Do you have any idea how far away it was?
No, it was a while ago.
Right.
But here's the thing of being in Hollywood. I mean, to back up of the history.
Right.
Okay. I was born in Hollywood, La Brea Hospital. But do you remember in the 50s that they had this gyro? It was like a yellow spaceship. Now, I took this to school. Now, what kid takes a spaceship to school? And I got in trouble because you wind it and it goes, and this is the sound it would make.
Right.
Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I'm taking that, and I got in trouble for trying to take it apart and understand what made this gyro, not knowing that it goes on this pedestal, and that's how the Earth evolves. I mean...
Right.
Here's this kid, because I'm an idiot savant, right? I am an idiot savant. And then in third grade, I designed a plastic heart. Then finding out my favorite ventriloquist, Paul Winchell, invented the plastic heart. So I've always been like an oddball, but I've been always having UFO experiences, always.
Well, you know, this is the thing, Sean, and you know better, man. You know what it's like right there between Santa Monica and Santa Barbara, Malibu, that entire stretch of PCH, the amount of UFO activity, Topanga Canyon, all the way out to Catalina and Marina del Rey, it's a daily occurrence out there. All you got to do is just go out there and hang out. You're going to see something.
But there has to be bases.
Yes, there definitely is.
And wasn't there a recording like in Hollywood that it's recorded that in 1940 something that the Air Force chased a UFO to Santa Monica?
Yeah. It was the Battle of Los Angeles.
Well, there you have it. It's a base.
I know.
And you mentioned one time there's a base near you, and I believe there is because I saw the mothership. And
that's
folks, I was not on acid, okay?
I hear it. Neither was I.
And I met this guy at called Starlight Bookshop in Santa Barbara.
Right.
And he's not even into UFOs. And check this story out, folks. He was into like all this other mystical stuff. So one day I go into the Starlight Bookshop. Because this followed me. When I moved to Santa Barbara in 73,
right.
It didn't stop. I can go in the library. I went in the library, folks. I'm not kidding you. Santa Barbara Library. I go in the section where UFO, I just pull out any book I want. Then I go to Starlight Bookshop. I pull this book out. It says, How to Communicate with Space People. I open up the book. Out comes a little green grasshopper. So I asked the shop guy, I said, can you get a little cup for this green grasshopper? He said, sure.
Wow.
Okay. So then after, We put the little grasshopper out. I read it, and he goes, no way. It's called Woofer and Tweeter was the contact for the alien for the guy's book. And I gave it to some people that believe in UFOs a long time ago. Can you imagine that?
That's crazy.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
And they just wouldn't leave me alone. And then it's like I joined this club. I still have the little signia. I'm trying to find the signia. But then what I was doing, I was going as like a UFOologist, and I went to Oregon, and my job was to find about catamutilations. So I went out to find about catamutilations, and this inner voice told me, like, I can hear it saying, stop. Don't do this anymore. We know where you are. We'll let you know, we'll contact you. Don't contact us.
Wow.
And that's, and ever since then, things been happening.
Well, you know, and it's that's one of the, because you're speaking to somebody that lives in Southern California, and I have seen so much since I have been here. Now, I know, and you do too, Sean, that we have a lot of top secret bases. We have Skunk Works, we have Rocketdyne, we have all of the research facilities that are going on here in the Mojave Desert. We have Area 51, we have China Lake. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on here, but that doesn't explain everything. But it does give us some special things in the sky to see once in a while. We have Vandenberg. You know, there's a lot of shuttle coming in and out back in the day. So there's all of that, but it doesn't explain the other stuff.
But here's the interesting thing. I mean, the history of my childhood is my father was supposedly a merchant marine. Then I find out he was with the Coast Guard. And during in Hollywood, he was with the Coast Guard. You know, and I mean, he was involved. And then I asked my mom, was he involved with a certain agency? Yes, he was. He used to go work supposedly as an engineer for Factory Mutual. He'd leave his land job, supposedly go to sea. And my mom said he misses the sea. And he was highly involved in something. And he, it was like he knew about something. And it's just very complex.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad was involved in a certain...
Like what? What was he involved in? We only have about 15 seconds, Sean.
Well, I can't... It's kind of cryptic, but let's put it this way. Coast Guard.
Sure.
Merchant Marine.
Sure.
And then three other letters.
Okay, fair enough. Sean, thank you for the phone call. Very interesting talking to you. And, you know, that the one of the points that Sean has just brought up to us is... Southern California is a special, special place. We have the deserts. We have Joshua Tree. We have all of the research facilities. We're 100 miles or 200 miles from Area 51. And like I just said, China Lake, Skunk Works, everything is here. It's all here in Southern California. So there's strange stuff going on all the time, but it doesn't explain everything. The amount of sightings in Topanga down through Malibu and the coast out to Catalina Island happens every single day. And that's why I live here. This is Coast to Coast AM. More of your phone calls next. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back. I want to thank everybody tonight in Twitter. Twitter was on fire. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Very simple. At JChurchRadio. That's all you got to do. I keep Twitter live all night long. Now, you should go check out my show, Fade to Black. Just click on my name right there at the Coast to Coast AM website. Very simple. It'll take you straight to me. Everything is there. There are a few cool things going on that I want to remind everybody of. First, we are live 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Live right before George and Coast to Coast. It's that simple, right? You get like 7 straight hours of the paranormal, conspiracies, UFO, health, consciousness, lost history, conspiracies. That's what we do. You get 7 straight hours of great talk radio. Second, everything is free. Third, just like Coast, our standards are very, very high. We only have the very best and the brightest guest. And fourth, we're live Monday through Thursday, 4 nights a week. So come join us, hang out with us, and then head straight over to Coast. That, to me, is a perfect evening out. It's better than Pokemon Go. And it's Friday night, and I'm taking your phone calls next. Let's do this. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Now, check this out. I've got a couple of truckers on hold, and they are always going to go to the front of the line. So I'm going to go to Rock first in Washington State. Rock, welcome to Coast.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and awesome show. Thanks. I was going to say I was watching. I happened to be home. Sorry, Matt. Car's driving by. I happened to be home last night, and I was watching a report on the Korean news channel, and they were talking about they have a new program that reads the magnetic forces on the Earth, and they can map out any building, any park, anything just by the little geosynchro thing in your phone along with the little magnetic strip. So when you flip your phone, it changes the way it lays out.
Wow, that's interesting, Rock. I'm going to go after the show tonight. I'm going to go and look that up. That is right up my alley. I've got to check that out. I'll get back to you tomorrow night on the show.
All right. I'll be listening. And thanks for doing such an awesome job.
Yeah, thank you, Rock. And be safe out there on the road now, okay? All right. Thank you, Rock. Let's go to Steven. He's trucking in San Diego. Steven, welcome to Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, you're doing a great job, man. Enjoying the show tonight. Really informative. I want to put my input in on all these people driving and doing the Pokemon Go thing.
Right.
I'm here on the 15 North, and I've been driving for about, I'd say, 2 hours since around midnight. I've already seen like 3 or 4 cars driving by, you know, with the app lit up on their phone. You can totally tell it's Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I know. And Steven, thank you for the phone call. And I will, and be safe out there, Steven, okay? I think the game actually activates or deactivates if it goes over a certain speed. In other words, you're supposed to be walking, you know, to get to these different areas. You can't go and drive really, you know, and at least that's what I was told by the different Pokemon Go players. That's interesting. So maybe there's a crack in the game that you're able to drive and play the game. I'm not so sure. But thank you for that. And yeah, absolutely. Do not play Pokemon Go and drive. And that is the end of that. All right, let's see. Let's go the furthest away and the longest on hold. Jim out in South Carolina. Welcome to Coast. We got you in.
Good morning, Jimmy. Thank you.
You got it, Jim.
Just 2 questions. Why do we even need applications for our smartphones anyway? They're basically a handheld computer.
That's right.
And there are, there's Opera, Firefox, different browsers. I try my best not to give permission to anything on my smartphone because I realize how insecure it is. And the other thing was the white plane flying around Denver.
Yeah.
Years ago, there was a guy who was on the local news there. He was saying that there was an item flying straight up and straight down into and out of Denver. And it was so fast, people couldn't see it with their naked eye. The local news agency goes out and they film and they find out that with their cameras, they caught it also.
I remember that series, Jim. I remember that series of videos. I do. And they put a stationary camera and they caught this object that was going into like a yard, right? It was, I remember that. And it was taking off and landing there. That was, still, I think that is unsolved. That's a fascinating series of videos for sure.
If it's still going on, I don't understand why more people haven't done some type of research into it.
Yeah, that was a fascinating set of videos, no doubt. But that plane yesterday, Iron 99, circling Denver, and then just taking off, heading east, and then just dropping. I mean, just gone. You know, and the pictures that I saw yesterday, it looked to me to be like a big, big, big jet, like a, I don't know if it was a 747, but it was, you know, it was like that. It wasn't a small passenger plane. This was a big white jet.
Thank you for taking the call, and I'll listen to any other answers off air.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. Be safe out there, man.
So long.
There you go. All right, I want to, I've got to go in my backyard here. Let's go to Rafael right here in Los Angeles. Rafael, welcome to Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Rafael. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I got a crazy story. I just happened to be listening tonight to your show, and I trip out because it had something to do with my story.
Okay.
Remember a couple years ago there was some kind of missile or rocket they said came off the coast of off our coast on Santa Monica?
Yep. That was about a year ago, maybe a little less.
No, there was one a couple of years ago too. There was like some crazy one. Nobody knew what it was. Well, anyways, it was around that time. Me and my buddy, we start talking about that, and we start talking about how like the basically like surveillance and all that stuff.
Right.
This is years ago. I had a Boost chirp phone, right? You know how it had that chirp feature on it?
Yep.
Where you could like do that walkie-talkie thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it in my shirt pocket. Right here, right above where my chest is at. So we're talking for a good 20, 30 minutes. We're outside of a laundromat. And all of a sudden, my phone rings, and we both look at it. We're like, what? It does that voicemail notification, right? And this was a regular phone. It wasn't even a smartphone. It was a regular phone back then. So I answer it, and I put it on speakerphone, and all of a sudden, it starts going to my voicemail. And so I'm looking at it. I'm like, me and my buddy are just both tripping out. Like, what's happening? And so I put the send button, you know, to answer the call, and the voicemail goes on, and it's me and his conversation for the past 15, 20 minutes, and we're tripping out. We're like,
what
is this?
Really?
Usually voicemails only go by like maybe what, a minute, 2 minutes?
Sure.
But this thing, it went on, the whole thing, everything we're talking about. And me and my buddy were, like, looking at each other, like, whoa, what?
Right, right.
It was the craziest thing.
Yeah, you know what I have found a little bit disturbing is I have friends whose cell phones, like, they'll show me their cell phone and go, see this? I didn't take this picture, or this one, or this one, or this one. And it's a picture of nothing, right? Like, you know what I mean? It's not pointed at anything. But it's like the smartphones are taking pictures by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, somebody is taking, you know what I mean? And that's trippy. I haven't had it happen on my phone yet, but I know I'm going to freak out when it does. But when things like that happen and you didn't do it, doesn't it make you wonder?
And what the craziest part of it was that, when it cut off, is me and him were both. We started talking about satellites. How when Reagan set up all the, when they said they wanted to set up back when he went.
Star Wars.
Yeah, we started talking about that, and that's when it just cut off. After that, and we're like, me and him just looked at each other like, did you hear when it ended? And he's like, yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, just like and Rafael, thank you for the phone call. What part of LA are you in?
Oh, I'm right now. I'm working over here in Alhambra.
Okay.
But I live in South LA.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right, Rafael, be safe out there, my friend.
All right. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. Let's go to who's on the longest here. Let's go to East of the Rockies, Scott in Iowa. Scott, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. I hope you're doing well there. And I sure wish you could get your show on WHO here in Iowa. You know, I could listen to it then and then switch over to Coast and Coast.
just go to my
radio station. It's called the Ronald Reagan Station, whether you like him or not. You know, I mean, it goes back years ago when he started there. And, yeah, they're kind of conservative, but, you know, they kind of give you a balanced thing. And I just wish you could get on there. I really do.
Well, there you go. So Coast is on WHO. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm listening to it on.
Okay.
It's WHO.
Sure.
They've won a lot of, is it called the Marconi Award?
Yeah, Marconi Award. Yeah.
Okay. They won a lot of those. If you want to look it up, but, yeah, please try to get into something there or something maybe on the Illinois border I can pick up.
You
know? I'd appreciate that.
All right. I appreciate
anyhow,
that, Scott.
Okay, my thing tonight is the technology thing. I ain't no technology guy, you know. But the thing is, if the government's got this stuff, you can bet there are people out there that are citizens or citizen groups that got about the same thing, or they're going to.
Right.
You know, right? I mean, that only stands to reason. So why can't some people get together on, no matter what it is, but we'll say UFOs or Bigfoot and what the government knows, and I'm not saying kind of hack into that, but do the same thing the government is doing to us.
Right.
I mean, we should be watching those in government. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay.
You know, one of the, you know, there are, well, you have Gary McKinnon for sure, but there are a lot of very, very talented, I'm going to choose my words wisely here, but there's some very talented technologists out there that if they so desired, I have talked to them, I have interviewed them off the air privately in very secure locations where they have told me, dude, if we wanted to make ufology and UFOs a project, we could. You know, and it's just that, well, let's just keep our fingers crossed. That's all I have to say.
Do you think, I'll just ask one more question and let people get on your show. Do you think part of it is fear of retaliation?
No. You want me to tell you exactly what it is? It's interest. It's the interest in the subject. You know, those talented technologists out there aren't looking at UFOs. They're looking at security for different institutions and corporations, and they're trying to prevent that, or they're trying to do that. You know, they're not in our circle. Look, it's not like that they would be hacking into the Cincinnati Reds, you know, sports franchise. You know, they're not into sports. You know what I mean? They're not into UFOs. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So there you go. They focus their energies into the areas of interest that they have, and it just doesn't happen to be UFOs.
Well, Jimmy, thank you. And like I said, I better get off. There's a lot of people that listen to you, and by gosh, I hope you get on WHO. I really do.
All right, let's hear it for WHO. Thank you, Scott, and behave out there. All right, let's go. You know what? I'm going to do this because I can. I'm going to go to Memphis, Tennessee, and Justin. Justin, you're up next on Coast.
Yeah, I had a couple interesting talking points for your listeners, and maybe you, if it's something you're interested in. Back on the UFO and alien encounter topic, there was a group in Switzerland of some of the most brilliant minds in science and ufology got together and created a broadband radio signal that was binary. It was binary code, and it could be used to put together an image.
Yes.
And the image was our location in our solar system, our genetic structure, what our body shape was.
Right.
And the radio signal we had used to send this transmission.
Right.
Well, back in 2011, a crop circle appeared.
Yes.
So perfectly beautiful, right next to the radio tower that sent the transmission in 68 in the first place.
That's right.
And the received crop circle was almost identical to the picture that we sent out.
That's right.
Except the alien form, the body form was different. The radio transmission signal was different.
Right.
All the actual data in the picture was different, but it was laid out exactly the same way.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you see them side by side.
Right. So you've looked it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've known about this for a long time.
Now, I did actually have a question on this other topic that I was thinking of. In 1977 in Ukraine, or in the UK, not just Ukraine, but all across the UK, it crossed, I think, three different countries, intercepted the transmission of 150 million people's radios or TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
a message. Yes.
Yeah, a message from the Ashtar Galactic Command.
Yes.
That we needed to lay down our weapons of destruction and unite, so that, or else we would miss out on an opportunity to ascend to the next stage of existence.
Yeah, and what's fascinating about that, Justin, really quick, and we're at the end of the show, so I want to thank you first for the phone call and the two great questions, or the great points. But that has never been solved. It's one of the most interesting things ever. Now, was it a hoax? Don't know. Who broadcasted it? Don't know.
Dismissed as a hoax.
Right, right. Right. But it's never been solved. They never pinpointed it. You would think that they would be able to find the origin of a television broadcast or signal or something that was strong enough to override and interrupt the current broadcast that was going on, right? It takes a lot of voltage and a lot of skill and technology, but
exactly
it was
my thought. And yeah, also at that point, all of the major radio line, all the power lines and stuff running into the radio station were, or the TV station were buried.
Yeah.
So the possibility of even hacking that was way more slim than it would be in the U.S.
Hey, Justin, we're at the end of the show, so I'm going to ask you one quick question. Is the Omni New Daisy still on Beale Street?
Yes, and they still do shows, and it's a beautiful but very old place.
Yeah, I used to work there. How about I'm trying to think of it, the shack out in Bartlett?
Oh, what shack? I'm not sure.
Oh, it's a bar. Don't worry about it. Hey, Justin, behave and be well, all right? Thank you so much for the phone call. Absolutely, the best. All right, what a great show tonight. I want to thank Brian Lunduk first. I want to thank all of the callers, all of you who phoned home tonight. It makes this Friday just the most special night of the week, seriously. Got to thank you, Dan. Got to thank Big Mike in training, Lisa, Chris, Stephanie, Lex, George, and the guy behind the glass, Tom. Tomorrow night, my guest will be Ira Pastor and author Ronnie LeBlanc. Sitting in for George Norrie, this is Jimmy Church. And this concludes another Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Tepe.